Hello there, and welcome to Heard Online, a series of investigative classes where we look at claims made about sleep on the World Wide Web to see if they're true or not. In today's episode, we are taking a tip from Sherry into consideration. Sherry is one of our community members here who said in a comment a while back, "Hey Daniel, it would be nice to see more positive studies, and I thought that she meant something more uplifting, something more kind of like helpful in that regard. And we have an article here that I think is a nice piece of journalism, a scientific study, and that I think is more of the uplifting kind and something that gives us insight, like valuable insight. And so, yeah, without further ado, actually, let us take a quick look at the article that I chose for today. And it is published in, I think it's the Journal of Sleep Research. Right, let's take a look. Here it is. It's Journal of Sleep Research, came out in 2014. It's by a Russian group, Elena Ruskazova is the lead author, and High Intention to Fall Asleep Causes Sleep Fragmentation is the title. It kind of gives it away a little bit, but there's I think it's quite interesting, so I hope you'll stay with me to look more deeply into this article. And as far as our triggerometer, is this a triggering title? I don't think so. Maybe a one, we'll get a one, because when anything that causes sleep fragmentation can make us a little bit triggered. But when we see that it's high intention to fall asleep, cause sleep fragmentation, to me, it actually is a very nice title that is quite objective. All right. So without further ado, let us look at what they did. So they recruited 33 quote unquote good sleepers. And what do they mean here? Well, they screened the 33 younger individuals. There were people in their 20s, a little bit more female than men, who, basically said, "I have no problem sleeping. I generally sleep well," something like that. Now, they gave them two opportunities to nap with 1 week in between these two opportunities. So they came into a sleep lab, they were hooked up with an EEG, and they were given an opportunity to nap. And then they came back a week later, same thing happened. But there were two conditions that, the first time and the second one we'll look at in a second. But before that, what was an opportunity to nap? Well, they said after electrodes for the EEG were fixed upon, their heads, an instruction provided, he or she lay for an hour in an acoustically insulated room. So they were provided a room without much noise, presumably dark, and they were just lying there for an hour. And now what were the two conditions here? Well, the participants received two different set of instructions. They could either receive neutral instruction or motivating instruction. And neutral instruction was the following. They were told, "You should just lay down as if you decided to have some rest during the day. Whether you fall asleep or not, doesn't matter. Just relax." That was neutral. And then motivating instruction was as follows. "It's very important for you to make yourself fall asleep as quickly as possible. Use all the methods you know. If you can fall asleep really quickly, you will get an additional monetary reward. For 5 minutes, you'll get 300 rubles, which is about 7 euros. For 10 minutes, 200 rubles. For 50 minutes, 100 rubles." Those were the instructions. And neutral instruction was given the first nap and motivating the second nap, or vice versa. So it could go either way there. Now, all participants were given 23 euros or 1,000 rubles in compensation just to be part of this study. Now, let's take a look at the results. What happened? Who did they sleep, easier in one condition or the other condition? What happened to subjective data, objective data? Well, let's take a look. Let's see what happened. So we'll go into the actual study results, and we can see what happened to subjective sleep appraisal. And that was basically after their nap, the participants were asked, like, "How long do you feel like it took you to fall asleep? Did you how would you rate the quality of your nap, etc.?" And we see here that participants' subjective appraisal of nap parameters were unrelated to instruction type. So And we can see the numbers here, whether they had neutral or motivating instruction, the participants felt like they spent about 50 minutes in bed. They felt like they slept about 22 to 24 minutes, etc. There was no difference in how they felt about this experience. Now, how about objective, like EEG-derived parameters? Well, the authors say, unexpectedly, instruction type did not affect sleep latency, which is in here in table two. So sleep latency was about 14 minutes in both conditions. And yeah, I found it a little bit surprising too. But in the other parameters, we see something different. They say, however, motivating instruction led to more fragmented sleep. It significantly increased awakening after sleep onset, macro awakenings, and the arousal index. And we can look at the numbers here as well. The total sleep time, which they actually didn't mention, I think here, total sleep time was reduced from 38 minutes in the neutral to 33 minutes in the motivational. However, if we look at p-value, this was just under 0.1. So mostly we look at under 0.5 as statistically significant. But there was a trend towards sleeping less with high intention. And the waking after sleep onset was increased. So in the neutral instruction, those participants were awake about 6 minutes after they had fallen asleep. So they woke up and were awake about 6 minutes. In the high motivation group, that was 13 minutes. Number of awakenings was higher in the high motivation. The arousal index, which is basically when we don't fully wake up, but we can see kind of an arousal in the EEG and the higher level of like brain activity, was quite a lot higher in the high motivation group. So this pretty much sums up the results of this little study. And some of you in the audience may say, like, well, Daniel, you always criticize studies for being small and you know, not having enough power, and we can't really draw conclusions from them. And yeah, this is a small study, and in you know, it's not something that is like earth-shattering, and that I think is like, oh, this is cemented as truth now just from this study. But it very much aligns with what I believe, so I think there's a lot of value in it. Now, that said, like, they were, again, the authors were surprised that they didn't see any difference in how long it took to fall asleep, even with this motivating instruction. Well, when I sort of hear my conclusions are maybe like the difference, everybody got 23 euros, which is, you know, about $23, let's say. 7 years extra may not have really been a big motivator for these participants. And so maybe that's why we didn't really see a big effect. We didn't see any change in how fast they fell asleep. But there were some changes seen. And I, one thing I looked at here was like, when they scored the sleep studies, you know, when they looked over that, did the person scoring sleep study know which condition they were? They didn't mention that, but I hope that they were blinded to that and they didn't know what they were scoring at the time. And they did score like using, you know, ASM Academy sleep instance criteria, which are, you know, fairly rigid. So I think we can still conclude that there was an effect, like high motivation, higher intent led to some more trouble sleeping. And again, the motivation was not that high, but imagine if the intent to sleep was really high, if we were super motivated. Imagine if we think, for example, our health depends on us sleeping, well, then of course we can have much more struggle. And so the reason I wanted to highlight this study was that it's, you know, it shows that there is some scientific backing to what we teach here. Everything that happens in the world of like science is not at all unhelpful. Like, I am a strong believer in the scientific method. And this is a very nice paper that I think highlights something very, very important. Now, the thing here is like the authors, you know, in their discussion, they don't make any bold claims or like say that they've shown something amazing, which I think they should have, like where they could have, because I think when you understand this, when you understand that, okay, high intention to sleep causes problems sleeping, well, there you have it. Then you understand insomnia. And then you can take it from there. Then you can, you know, do further studies showing that a high fear of not sleeping due to health, reported health concerns leads to insomnia. And, you know, you could basically take this as a, like a foundational insight and understanding and lead it to, like, you know, big change in like how we look at insomnia, how we treat insomnia, how we approach insomnia in, you know, from within the like scientific community. This could really lead to some amazing places. So I think it was a nice one. Nice article. Hope you found some value here. And I have already gotten some suggestions from further for Heard Online episodes we should look at. So more to come, but I'll end here. I hope you found it helpful, and I hope to see you soon. Bye for now.